On the wall by the phone, she tacked a message with the names of four couples for him to call. All were very close friends, the kind you could confess to and say, "Look, we've screwed up, Blair's coming home, please forgive us and come to our party." He'd call them later, but the note said, "Do it now." So he dialed the number for Jean and Annie Laird, perhaps their oldest friends in town. Jean answered the phone and had to yell because a riot was underway. "Grandkids," he said, "all four of them. Got an extra spot in the cruise ship, old boy?" Luther gritted his teeth and plowed through a quick narrative, then gave the invitation. "What a bummer," Jean yelled. "She's coming home now?" "Right." "And bringing a Peruvian?" "You got it." "Quite a shock, really. Can you guys help us out?" "Sorry, pal, we got family in from five states." "Oh, they're invited, too. We need a crowd." "Let me check with Annie." Luther slammed down the phone, looked at the nine large boxes, and was hit with an idea. Probably a bad idea, but at the moment, good ones were scarce. He ran into the garage and gazed across the street at the Trogdon house. The van was packed with luggage, and skis were strapped across the top of it. Wes Trogdon emerged from his garage with a backpack to throw on board. Luther stepped quickly across the Becker's front lawn and yelled, "Hey, Wes!" "Hello, Luther," he said hurriedly. "Merry Christmas!" "Yeah, Merry Christmas to you." They met behind Trogdon's van. Luther knew he had to be quick. "Look, Wes, I'm in a bit of a jam." "Luther, we're late. We should have been on the road 2 hours ago." A small Trogdon darted around the van, firing a space gun at an unseen target. "Just take a minute," Luther said, trying to be cool, but hating the fact that he was begging. "Blair called an hour ago. She'll be home tonight. I need a Christmas tree." The hurried and stressed look on Wes's face relaxed. Then a smile broke out. Then he laughed. I know," Luther said, defeated. "What are you going to do with that tan?" Wes asked between laughs. "Okay, okay. Look, Wes, I need a tree. There are no more trees for sale. Can I borrow yours?" Trish screamed from somewhere inside the garage. "Wes, where are you?" "Out here," he yelled back. "You want my tree?" "Yes, I'll return it before you get home, I swear." "That's ridiculous." "Yes, it is, but I have no choice. Everybody else will be using their trees tonight and tomorrow." "You're serious, aren't you?" "Dead serious. Come on, Wes." Wes pulled a key ring from his pocket and removed the ones to the garage door in the house. "Don't tell Trish," he said. "I swear I won't. And if you break an ornament, then we're both dead. She'll never know it, Wes, I promise." "This is funny, you know? Why am I not laughing?" They shook hands, and Luther hurried back to his house. He'd almost made it when Spike Frohmeyer wheeled into his driveway on his bike. "What was all that about?" he demanded.
"I beg your pardon," Luther said.
"You and Mr. Trogdon."
"Why don't you mind your own—"
Luther caught himself and saw opportunity. He needed allies at the moment, not enemies, and Spike was just the type. "Hey, Spike, buddy," he said warmly. "I need a little help.
What's the deal?"
"The Trogdons are leaving home for a week, and I'm going to keep their tree for them."
"Why?"
"Trees catch on fire a lot, especially ones loaded with lights. Mr. Trogdon is worried about the tree getting too hot, so I'm going to move it over to my house for a few days."
"Just turn the lights off. Still got all those wires and stuff. It's pretty dangerous. Think you could give me a hand? I'll pay you $40.
$40? You got a deal.
We need a small wagon.
I'll borrow Clem's.
Hurry,
and don't tell anybody."
"Why not?"
"It's part of the deal, okay?"
"Sure, whatever."
Spike sped away, off on a mission. Luther took a deep breath and gazed up and down Hemlock. Eyes were watching him, he felt sure, the way they'd been peeking at him for weeks now. How did he become such a villain in his own neighborhood? Why was it so hard to dance to his own beat once in a great while? To do something no one had dared? Why all this resentment from people he'd known and liked for years? Regardless of what happened in the next few hours, he vowed that he would not be reduced to begging his neighbors to come to the party. First, they wouldn't come because they were ticked off. Second, he wouldn't give them the satisfaction of saying no.